But it is time now for the Africa Report with Africa correspondent Jean-Jacques Cornish. Bonjour, Jean-Jacques. How are you doing this morning?
Bonjour. Unless they're any better, I'd have to tell the cops, man. Fantastic. I think it's starting to warm up, eh?
Well, yeah, in the Cape as well. But we're going to start with some troubling news. Dozens of bodies have been found floating in a river bordering the Tigray region and Sudan. This is as at the same time there is a 1.7 million refugee crisis as conflict in that area of the world still continues.
Yes, and all sorts of things. Famine looming. This is about 50 bodies, many found with shot in the back and some in their hands bound. This is the river known at one side as Seti and at the other side as Tekezi, bordering Sudan and Tigray. These are believed to be people fleeing from the 9 months of fighting in Tigray. The Ethiopian government, nobody has put any blame thus far, but the Ethiopian government says this is fake, and therefore you immediately begin to think, well, who's going to be blamed? You know, they're starting to retaliate before they've even been attacked. Samantha Power, the head of the U.S. Aid, is visiting the region, and she will go to Ethiopia and appeal to them to keep humanitarian attacks open for getting to the Tigrayan people. Now, the forces in Tigray, of course, have said that they're not going to stop fighting unless the Ethiopians stop their blockade and unless Eritrean troops are pulled out, and they say they'll keep going. And, you know, the thing about it is Africa's second most populous country. If they can't pull this back, and the Tigrayans seem to be getting stronger and stronger within their own region, they'd say they will attack Amhara people, who are, of course, the majority group. The Tigrayans are only 6% of the Ethiopians, but they'd have had the upper hand politically for a long time. So this is a real, real test for Abiy Ahmed. And, I mean, this further news of atrocities like this doesn't help at all.
In other parts, continuing there in the East African region, where Britain has been slammed for the lack of apology over colonial abuses in Kenya, Jean-Jacques?
You know, we've had this situation, haven't we, with many. I mean, with the Germans, the Belgians, the Germans in Namibia, the Belgians in the Congo. Britain did in 2013 make a financial settlement for people supposedly tortured during the Mau Mau uprising. But now the United Nations have sent rapporteurs in to look, and they have said that there's two areas where the communities in Kipsigis and in Talai, their land was taken, and this land is today, today used by British and international tea outlets. You know, they're growing tea internationally for international consumption on them. And they're saying that the UN rapporteurs are saying there was unlawful killings and sexual violence in the 19th and 20th century, and these people haven't been compensated, or there's been no apology for this. It's one of those things, you know. It's funny, we talk about it often, saying that, you know, your children and mine are going to feel climate change much, much, much more hurtfully than we have. And it's interesting, though, that generations who were not responsible for the colonialism are having to make the apologies and pay the price for it. Of course, the people who were abused and violated at that time, they deserve the compensation, or certainly their families do. But it is one of those things, historically, people having the fingers pointed at them now, were not responsible for what happened back then in the 19th and 20th centuries.
And finally, in Zambia, President Edgar Lunga, he's sending in the army ahead of general elections later this month. Again, another worrying election season in Southern Africa.
Very much so, Lester. You know, of course, the rallies have been banned because of the coronavirus, because of the lockdown, effectively. But the more militant supporters of the ruling UPND, ruling Patriotic Front, and then the UPND, the opposition, have had at each other with machetes and axes and slashes and catapults. Yeah. Two people died at the weekend, and Edgar Lungu saying, wow, that's enough now. We're going to move in troops. But he's moving in all sorts, the sailors, airmen, ground troops, all to help quell this violence. I don't know if it's going to work. You know, Edgar Lungu's had a very heavy hand. He's an authoritarian type of leader. So you can imagine the kind of passions evoked and the kind of height of feelings ahead of elections. That's on the off, by the way. So we hold thumb for our regional partner and hope that they can do it peacefully. Thus far, Zambia has had a quite an enviable record of democracy, and we certainly hope nothing is going to happen more than.
Jean-Jacques Cornish, he joins us again next Tuesday for a look into the content, which he keeps his close eye over for EWN. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Morning Review.